All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I knew that we were going to have skate day today, and I knew that we were going to have a missionary tonight. And so I geared my message tonight. I've only got 2 points instead of three. So you'll be out on time tonight, Lord willing, and if I don't get off on a rabbit trail, no promises there. But I want to share a little thought with you tonight and give you a little challenge tonight on the subject of prayer. And we've kind of heard a theme tonight, heard the subject of prayer mentioned several times, and so that shows me that the Lord is leading in what I was to speak on tonight. I struggled a little bit with about the subject, but then I've learned long ago, don't argue with the Lord when He wants a certain subject or a certain area or a certain passage, you do it and then let Him take care of the results, and He always does. And so He'll do so again tonight and has already. But look at chapter 18 and verse 1. And in this verse, the Bible says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end." Now, it's not often that a parable is explained before it's given. But in this case, Luke tells us that the purpose for this parable was to teach men that they ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, isn't that unusual that he would do that? He tells you what the parable is before he tells you the parable. And the parable here is designed to teach us and to inspire us that we ought always to pray and not to faint. So I want to speak to you tonight from that little phrase. I'm going to entitle the message, "We Ought Always to Pray." We ought always to pray. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless us. Father, we thank you for the service this evening. What a wonderful report we have gotten of several folks coming to know Christ yesterday in Baltimore. And while protesters are down there smashing windows and looting stores and creating as much havoc as they can, there were soul winners down there telling people about Jesus and how to get to heaven. And what a contrast. And Father, we thank you for the ones that were saved. And now we heard the good report today of the buses and all the folks that were saved. And Father, I just pray that you will bless all of those folks and bless that effort today. I know that many of our folks tonight are tired. So, Father, give us attentive minds and hearts, and help us to listen to the Word of God tonight and to apply the principles that we're about to hear, and to help us in the future as we will have other soul-winning opportunities and other ministries that certainly need the unction of heaven upon them. And how do we get that unction but to pray always and not faint? It just needs to be drilled into our hearts tonight that we need to pray and not faint. So bless now and help me as I speak, and give each one of us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, this is one of many. There are many when you think about it and when you pay attention to it. But this is one of those passages in which the Lord Jesus gave encouragement in the matter of prayer. He taught on many different occasions that men ought always to pray and not faint, on several occasions. To the Lord Jesus, prayer was a given. It was a given. It is just like he took for granted that all of us prayed regularly. It was just a given. I mean, it's almost like he understood that if we're going to make it through this difficult thing that is called life, we're going to have to pray as we do so. And so prayer was a given. I find it interesting that not once did the Lord Jesus ever say anything about the whole process of prayer, how it's possible, how it works, why we should pray. None of that's ever discussed. He never took the thought of God for granted, and he never took the fact of prayer for granted. If you think about it, he never argued, not one time, for the existence of God. He just took for granted that we all had enough sense to believe that there's a God. Amen. Now, that's sad, a lot of folks today don't. But he never took the thought or never argued the existence of God, and he never argued that that people ought to pray. All the difficulties that we face in prayer that the Savior dealt with are those which are natural to our human weaknesses. And in all of those difficulties, the Lord amply dealt with them. For instance, he knew how prone men would be to give over praying. All right? It's as if he knew that men would think, well, I can just give towards something, and then I won't have to labor over that something in prayer. You know, if I give to it, then I'm good. And he also knew how readily we would faint and give up on prayer. And so he challenged us here in this verse on the matter of not fainting. He knew that it would be difficult for us to always pray. And so all through the Gospels, by parable as well as by precept, our Lord taught on several occasions that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now, as you might imagine, the Lord never said one thing and then did another. You with me on that? He never said one thing and then did another. He told us that we ought to pray, but then, as an example, he was a great prayer warrior. Okay? We read where he prayed through the night on several occasions. And we read where he would go a little ways from where the disciples were resting. And while they slept, he prayed. And they noticed that, and they mentioned that in their Gospels. And I'm not sure that any of us can truly understand the place that prayer occupied in our Lord's life. You see, his unrelenting service was the product of his prayer life. His sinlessness was the victory of his prayer life. His life and all of its activity and suffering was a reflection of his father's will, which he learned, understood, and did through his prayer life. And if he always did what pleased his father, and moment by moment was reinforced with strength from heaven, it was because he always prayed and never fainted. You see, great is the encouragement for you and for me to prayer that we learn from his teaching. But even greater is the encouragement that we learn and we see to pray from his example. You remember, there's a little verse over in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And in that verse, the Holy Spirit led the writer to say this: he, speaking of Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, would you think about that verse for a moment? In that verse, the Holy Spirit said that our Lord's extensive prayer life that he had when he was on earth was carried over into his heavenly life. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. In other words, folks, after the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, and after he was buried and then resurrected, and then after 40 days, he ascended back to heaven, he ever liveth to pray. Isn't that amazing? I mean, will you just think of the wonder of that for a moment? He is in heaven praying for you and for me right now. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Once he got back to heaven and took a seat at the right hand of God the Father, he chose to keep doing the same thing that he did when he was here. And that's pray always and not faint. Now, just a couple of observations on the matter of prayer tonight. If you look at the text verse, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." The first thing that I want you to see from this statement that our Lord made is this: prayer is not easy, it's hard work. Prayer is hard work. That is why it's so easy to grow faint in the matter of prayer. If we work endlessly and strenuously, we grow tired and weary. And at the end of a long, hard day of work, we often say, "I just feel like I could keel over. I just feel like I could faint from being so tired." We find ourselves weary and fainting at the end of a long day's work. And folks, I submit to you that it takes work on our part to pray always. But now think of this. It's easy to pray when your world is turned upside down. Anybody have difficulty praying when everything just falls apart? No, you don't, do you? Man, it's easy to pray when your world is caving in around you. I mean, when you get that doctor's report and it wasn't good, or when there is some tragedy, or when the bottom falls out and you find yourself with no place else to turn, it all of a sudden becomes easy to pray, doesn't it? You see, in those times, you realize your need of God, and the prayer just rolls right off your lips. And you'll then find yourself getting off your knees and taking a few steps, but then your mind and your heart just goes right back to whispering to the Lord to intervene and to help you through your trial. But folks, it's difficult to maintain a fervent prayer life when everything is going well. It's just real easy then, or real difficult then to pray. It's difficult to maintain that fervent prayer life when things are going well. And the wonderful thing is, even the Lord Jesus himself demonstrated this principle to us when in the early years of his ministry, great crowds of people were coming to him, and generally speaking, all was well. You see, early in his ministry, he was well received, and everything was going well. But when you read the Bible, even especially in those good times, that did not stop him from prayer. You'll read in the Gospels, and one of the Gospel writers will tell you that people came throughout the day, and he taught them, and he preached to them, and he healed them, and then he did mighty miracles in their midst. I'm telling you, folks, I will guarantee you there was a great spirit around the Lord Jesus and among the people during that time. And then down at the end of one of those passages, it will say something to the effect that, and the Lord went over into a mountain and he prayed. Oh, the disciples were sound asleep. They were exhausted. But the Lord Jesus prayed continually. So if he who lived in the sunshine of God's presence needed to pray continually, how can we not need to pray continually? But the Lord said in our text that we are all prone to faint in prayer. And so we must understand this one basic thing that is worth learning. And that one basic thing is that prayer is always work and probably some of the hardest work that you will ever do. And I say that because it's a spiritual conflict. I say that because we tend to only pray or only think to pray when there is a problem that we are facing. But the Lord said that we should pray always. The Lord said, pray always and not faint. That means in the good times as well as in the bad times. Now, we've got a diverse crowd here. We've got some folks sitting here tonight, and you're young and you're healthy, and God bless you. And if the Lord tarries, I want you to know something. One day you're going to be old and a mess. So let me just challenge you right now. While you're young and healthy, would you learn how to pray always and not faint? Would you do that? Because one of these days, you're going to find that you're going to need the Lord. Well, I want you to know you need the Lord right now. And if you would learn to pray now while everything is good, you would see the Lord bless in some amazing ways. You see, folks, listen carefully to me now. All you young people, listen to me. There are fortunes to be made in prayer far more lasting than any fortune made in business. And yet how few apply themselves to prayer with the same intensity that they apply themselves to their business. Think of it, folks. In work, there are three parts of our being that are always involved. There is the understanding by which we work intelligently. There is the heart by which we labor willingly. And there is the will by which we labor tirelessly. And yet I do not know of any kind of work that calls for all three in constant exercise so urgently and so completely as the matter of prayer. As you pray, all three of these areas must stay focused and must work together. Your mind, stay on the issue. Your heart, stay at it. And in your will, labor tirelessly. Just give yourself in the matter of prayer. Now let me illustrate. Let's take a student who is studying for an exam. And if while studying, his mind wanders to thoughts of his girlfriend, all of a sudden he finds himself wasting time. All of a sudden he finds himself wasting time. Let's take a factory worker. If while doing his or her job on the assembly line, their mind then begins to wander to what they're going to do after a while, and the next thing you know, they'll mess up. So what is needed for an effective prayer life is effort. It's the work to stay on track with what we are doing. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that prayer is wrestling. He said that it is striving. He said that it is a laboring that we do. So prayer is no easy thing. It is most difficult, but it is one of the most victorious things that we can do as a believer as we get God in on what we're doing in life. But then there's a second thing that I call to your attention. Secondly, we should not faint simply because the times in which we live demand that we pray. Folks, if we ever should be a praying people, it's now. It is now. I think we have gotten so busy today that praying has been shoved way down the list on our daily obligations. But if ever there was a time when we ought to pray, it's today. I mean, my goodness, our world's on fire. Absolutely on fire. Christians are being beheaded all over the Middle East. Terrorism is spreading like a wildfire. Terrorism is right here now in our homeland. Our country has been fundamentally transformed, and we don't even recognize anymore the America that we grew up in. Political correctness and other liberal ideals have swept common sense right out the door. And churches like ours, I don't know if you realize this, but churches like ours have been placed on government lists as the most dangerous entities that threaten the national security of our nation. Can you imagine that? And my question to you tonight is this: could God be using these present times to bring his people back to prayer? I think he could. Let me ask you, how many freedoms do we have to lose before God's people get serious about praying? How many? I mean, how much of the Constitution has to be shredded and thrown in the garbage can before God's people wake up and start praying again? How many states have to legalize marijuana? Folks, let me tell you something. This marijuana thing is serious. It is serious business. They start showing these people at the out in Colorado at these conferences and these Earth Day celebrations and marijuana celebrations. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't let any of those people wash my car. I'd be scared to death what they'd do with it. Our nation's in trouble. How many states have to legalize marijuana? How many laws have to be passed that take our rights away before we get back to prayer? How many babies have to be murdered in the name of Roe versus Wade before America gets on its knees and starts praying? We're in trouble, folks. If the Lord Jesus tarries his coming, the next generation, and I hate to say this, but I think it's true. But if the Lord tarries his coming, the next generation will not have a Church of the Open Door to worship God. I know it's not easy with our lives as busy as they are today. But I'm telling you, nothing is ever easy when you're speaking about the spiritual realm. And while it's true, there is little time. But let me ask you, can not all of us make some time to pray? And I think we had better start. After all, our children are at stake. I sat at lunch today and I watched my grandchildren and my heart broke. If the Lord tarries, what does their future hold? Our country is at stake. Our freedoms are at stake. Our church is at stake. The battle that is raging against God's people today is real. And yet God's people seem to think that sane thinking and rational minds will somehow prevail and things will get better on their own. Brethren, I would not put my stock in that. You say, well, if we can just get a Republican in the White House. Folks, we're not fighting a political battle here. We're fighting a spiritual battle here. And you don't defeat a devil with politics. And I assure you, things are not going to get better of their own accord. We have got to get back to praying for God to intervene in the ungodliness that is going on in this world and to bless our country once again. What we need is divine intervention in America. And the only way that's going to happen is for God's people to rise up and pray. Don't you know that we always find time for what we want to find time for? I've had so many Christians tell me through the years that they just don't have time to come to church. But they have time to do what they want to do. But here's what's missing, folks. Great blessing is awaiting us if only we would make the time to pray. Great power is awaiting us if only we would pray for power and not faint. Great peace is awaiting us if only we would pray for peace and not faint. All of these wonderful benefits are ours if only God's people would find time to pray. But Bible-believing Christians must put Christ back in the midst of the candlestick, or we're sunk. This liberalism that denies the Bible, that denies Christ, that denies the truth of God's Word, that needs to be repented of. And we must get back on our knees and fellowship with the God of our salvation. And folks, I'm going to tell you what I believe. Not that I've ever hid that from you. But I think if America stays on the same course that we're on right now, if we stay on the same course, if we haven't already lost our country by 2016, when a new president takes over, if we haven't already lost it, we're certainly going to lose it then. I think we've already lost it, to be honest with you. And you mark my word, dear friend. You mark my word. You remember this night. Unless God's people stand up, we, in just a few years, are going to be a nation of regrets. When we have lost complete control of our Constitution, of our country, we will look back on the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, and we will regret that we fainted when we should have been praying. A wise man said, live life so that when you get to the end of it, you will have no regrets. And if we do not learn to pray and then start praying now, we will one day look back and regret that we played instead of prayed. We will regret that we did not claim all of these wonderful promises that are in this book, that are given to those who pray. We'll regret it. And I beg you tonight to live today so that when you come to the end of your life, you won't look back and regret that you lived a full life, raised a family, went to the Church of the Open Door for decades, but did not pray through it all. Remember what the Savior taught you here in this text. Remember what He taught you by precept as well as by parable and example. And realize that He taught you this, that men ought always to pray and do not to faint.